everybody to the February 10th meeting of the 2021 of the Ventnor City Planning Board. This meeting is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the Republic, which stands
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and
for all. Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Landgraf?
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Dan was
you're
here.
You're muted, Dan.
Dan, you're muted.
At least he's not a cat.
But now.
Dan Smith III?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Taco?
Here.
Tim Coob?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Absent are Tom Halpin and Lorraine Salata.
Okay. Next order of business is the adoption of the minutes from our January 13th meeting, which was reorganization. At this time, are there any amendments or corrections to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
And one abstention, and the ayes have it. The item on the agenda next would be the adoption of resolutions. They will cover all of the reappointment of our officers and our professionals, in addition to three cases that were held. The final are P5. They are listed as P5 2021, appointment of the chairman, 6/2021. Board engine, chairman and vice chairman, pardon me, is P5-2021. P6-2021 is board engineer and planner and solicitor. And P7 is 2021 is Celicia DeFabio, 720 North Little Rock Avenue. P8-2021 is Franco Borda, 6709 Atlantic Avenue, and P9 2021 SJ House Properties. At this time, may I have are there any changes or amendments to said motions or resolutions? If not, may I have a motion and a second for adoption of the resolutions as one package?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are, they are hereby, the resolutions are hereby adopted. This evening, we have on the agenda two items of with applicants. One is an interpretation, which is Paul Ruffalo and Samantha DeMeo. And the second is a case regarding 129 North Surrey Avenue. At this time, we will proceed with the interpretation first at 5301 Atlantic Avenue. And I believe Mr. Callahan is representing.
I am. Good evening. Brian Callahan of the law firm Callahan Thompson Thompson, on behalf of Paul Ruffalo and Samantha DeMeo, properties known as 5301 Atlantic Avenue. We're here tonight for an interpretation.
Brian, we like to get people sworn first, please.
Yep.
If you do that. And then, Roger, do you want to do a preamble on this first or just go right into it?
I'll go right into it.
Okay, thank you. You're going to continue right in, Brian.
I'll have Paul and Samantha here sworn in by Leo.
Please.
Okay, why don't each of you can just state your name and address, and I'll get you sworn in. Get that out of the way.
Samantha DeMayo, 5301 Atlantic Ave, apartment 3, Ventnor, New Jersey.
And I am Paul Ruffello, 5301 Atlantic Avenue, Ventnor City, New Jersey, apartment 3.
And can you each please raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and I might as well. Jay, I should get Roger sworn in too.
Please do. I was going to suggest that.
Mr. Roger, McLaren, if you can please raise your right hand, you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Brian, continue, please.
This is a property at 5301 Atlantic Avenue. It's going to be an art gallery, and we're hoping to have a tattoo studio. The art gallery is a permitted use. When you go through the list of commercial uses, in Ventnor, the tattoo studio is not specifically listed. When you look at the mercantile licenses list of uses, it's not specifically permitted. However, when you look at both the commercial uses and the mercantile lists, they talk about salons and barbershops, etc. Talking with Mr. Ruffello, the tattoo people are licensed by the state of New Jersey, similar to a barbershop, a hair salon, nail salon. In fact, we just opened up one on Little Rock Avenue where it's the tattooing that's done for the cancer patients and that type of thing, which was classified as a permitted use. So we believe that in today's day and age, a tattoo studio is classified as fine art type of thing, permitted use. So I'll have Paul give you a little explanation as to his background, Samantha's background, so they can tell you how they intend to use it, and the background between the art studio, the fine art, and the tattoo world. Paul, you want to step forward a little bit? And that way you
sure.
Can go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I'm Paul. I don't do Zoom too much, so it's a little weird, but I've been tattooing since 1997. I started in New York. It's been a very lucrative career for me. I've traveled out to LA. I was on a television show. I got to work with a lot of famous people and great artists, and it's just broadened my horizons, and it's been really good. I moved to Ventnor about 6 years ago when I met my now girlfriend, and we lived together in the building upstairs, and we just kind of came up with this idea to open up a art gallery and a tattoo studio down by the beach. We love the area. So we just really didn't think there was anything better than be able to run a business in it.
Art, the tattoo studio that we're promoting, no real signs out front, is by appointment only.
Sorry.
It would be by appointment only.
That's correct. Yes, I'm sorry.
No neon signs or anything else out front. Correct.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sorry.
You intend to integrate the fine art with the tattoo world?
That is correct.
Community oriented?
Absolutely.
Hours of operation?
I think we were thinking like 12 to 8, maybe 9 in the summertime.
Earlier in the summer. Open earlier.
Also, object is to be very community oriented, from artisan sessions, bringing the local art world into this studio, as well as drawing from the New York, Philadelphia art world?
Absolutely.
Also bringing different tattoo people into the world so that the art world and the tattoo world can interact?
Yes.
In your opinion, and I know it's just your opinion, tattoos have come a long way since 1978 when the Ventnor commercial book was put out to see it's now classified as fine art?
Absolutely, and yes.
In your sense, working with LA Inc. and the TV shows, once again, there's tattoo artists throughout the world now that are really classified as fine artwork.
It is.
Samantha, you want to just jump in and tell them how you're involved?
Thank you.
Hi, guys. So I am an artist also, not a tattoo artist. I paint watercolor, acrylic, oil paintings, things like that. So my art would also be in the gallery, and we have a lot of friends in the community. Sue Van Dyne, Kelly Carver. We know a lot of artists also in the area that we would love to bring into the store as well and have like guest spots throughout the year, monthly, maybe things like that. And then of course in the summertime have quite a few art shows. So displaying our art and our friends' art in the community as well. And then more people that we meet too that would be interested in showing their art as well. So we're just excited. We want to bring the community together through art, and tattooing is lucrative, as Paul said. So, you know, that would basically fund what we really love, and that's fine art and our own artwork and our friends' artwork.
The location that you picked, one of the reasons you picked it because you thought of the North Beach area being redeveloped.
Yes.
With the number of restaurants, the number of improvements that have been done in that North Beach area, mm-hmm. that this would be a fine place to have as people walk to and from dinners, that your art gallery could be open. So it's, once again, a business, something separate and apart from the restaurants that's open for people to do as they walk through the North Beach area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Board members, I don't have anything really else to put forward for you. Both parties are here if you have any questions of them.
I do have a question. I did not come across any prohibition of tattoo parlors, and where is it in the Ventnor codes?
Well, it's not, but what happened with Mr. Agnesino had indicated that since it's not listed as a permitted use, his interpretation was that it's prohibited.
Okay, I view it differently. If it's
well,
it's,
so did I.
I would say if the city distinctly did not want it, it would then prohibit it.
Right,
but that's my opinion.
Similar to like on the reverse of that, Roman arcades. We specifically prohibit arcades up until I think last year when we opened up that to a very limited type of an arcade. So I would tend to agree with you that it's there is a portion of the municipal land use law that does talk about if it's not specifically listed as a permitted use or it can be tied to an existing permitted use, then it is prohibited. But I think we've come a little ways from that with how we interpret land use regulations. And to put all cards on the table, I met with Samantha and Paul maybe, 3 months ago, guys?
Yeah.
Right across the street from where they live and want to put this shop in. And you know, they brought to me the concern that, you know, Jimmy thinks it's or doesn't know because it's not written clearly in our regs. So best thing to do, bring it to the board, get an interpretation. I look at it as the tattoo parlors or shops of old are not what we have today. I don't have tattoos. My daughter does, and my niece does, but it's not something I've ever participated in, but it's different than it was when we were growing up. And I don't necessarily have an issue with this, but I'd like to hear your guys' opinion. So, you know, please don't hold back. I want to hear what your thoughts are. And I love the art, the gallery part of it.
We're going to do a public portion. So please be patient. Lance, in that vein, when you look at permitted uses such as which were mentioned, nail salons, hair salons, they have to do with body aesthetics, basically. And I view the tattooing as a body aesthetic. It's another form of identifying, keeping a look and so on, enhancing yourself. And I think that's how it's viewed today. And I think with our ordinance, I think it can be viewed in that fashion. I'm not against it because I understand where it's gone and where it's come from and the artistic part of it. But I also understand that the use runs with the land.
Crazy.
As well. What's here today will be there tomorrow. even after this party is gone, if they do decide to leave that's that particular site. So, but I still feel the use is allied to what is regulated by the state and what is currently in operation.
I would also like to add that this is an area that went through that streetscape improvement. There are other cultural facilities, such as the, I guess it's photography studio next door to what they would have the art gallery. It really is creating sort of a cultural mecca for Ventnor. And maybe by having the art studio, which would be prominent, and the tattoo parlor behind that, you know, as a not tattoo parlor, but a tattoo, activity, it only will enhance and maybe add to have more people add to this area, because that would really help North Beach. I think, you know, we really need to give it a separate identity. And I think with the improvement that Ventnor City went and funded to improve the streetscape, it really does have a cultural look. And I think this would be an asset.
I love the way you put that. And I couldn't agree. I think you sort of said what I would have liked to have said, but yeah.
May I say something?
I have a question. Just that, would it be, I would like to hear what Mike has to say, since he's in that neighborhood. And I do like the idea of a gallery, but I wonder if a tattoo parlor as an accessory use, similar to what we did with the arcade, would be a starting step. Otherwise, we could be potentially opening the door for every nail salon in town to also be a tattoo parlor.
Right. So just understand what we're being asked to do is we're doing an interpretation.
Right.
So that would be what I would suggest to him, is maybe that's a way to rewrite like we did for the arcade. You could write it into the ordinance and actually create that as an accessory use. I like that idea, but I'll defer to Leo, but I think, Leo, that's beyond our scope tonight.
Tonight, yeah. I think going forward, it might be something we want to write as an accessory, or make it specifically permitted, but maybe attach certain conditions if that's a concern. Brian, I had a quick question. If you get a favorable interpretation tonight, what's your next step?
Well, I think that we would have to apply to the mercantile office for a license for the art gallery and the tattoo studio. And the research that we've done, that license can be issued, but it's also subject to a health inspection, fire inspection for the overall space. But I think that there's a health inspection done for the studio portion.
Okay,
and that was we talked about that, because one of the issues is that you may need a hand sink in the area. But Paul has said that, you know, that was old school, new school. Now everything is self-contained. You use it, throw it away. Yeah. You use it, throw it away. So it's a self-contained thing. But once again, whatever the health department of Ventnor says, we will comply with.
Yeah, going forward, Tim, I think that your concept is an excellent idea. So I would, I think you've phrased it very well.
Thanks. I think just that there's a difference between a primary use and an accessory use, and it lends itself to the. I like the idea of the gallery. I think it's a huge benefit to that neighborhood for all the right reasons. The walk traffic is going to improve in the evenings as the theater opens and the restaurants flourish because of that. So this is exactly the kind of thing that we want. I would like to hear Mike Wiesen's reaction to and his opinion on this, since he's a neighbor.
I just Googled, I didn't like the word tattoo. Because I associate it with what I remember when I was younger. But I think the word body art would be a little better for the neighborhood, because I just Googled Paul, and it's not a tattoo, it's art. I mean, I'm looking at all the pictures on the internet of what he did. I can't even imagine somebody, this is an artist. perform. I'm looking at one. I can't even imagine how many hours he spent doing this guy's back. It's so beautiful. It looks like it's something from Italy. You know, so, I mean, the word tattoo doesn't justify what he did on this gentleman. It really should be called body art to combine right. with, you know, the art gallery. You know, that's just my opinion because, you know, you kind of think a tattoo as not the, you know, like motorcycle guys or something. And not everybody's like that, you know.
Even grandfathers have tattoos now.
Right. I'm just saying this. If you guys just jump on your phone and look at what he did on some of these people, that's not a tattoo. That's art, you know, flat out.
Well, the thing is that this still runs with the land no matter what. And that's what we always have to be considered, not just for the moment, but for the long run. That's what my guidance is to everything. The other question I have is in this studio you're doing, what percentage or what portion of the studio is dedicated to, or the art is dedicated to just the body art? Half, 30%, 20%?
It's less than half. I would say 40. We have a plan. What would you say it is?
I don't know, probably about 40%, 30-40%. The gallery part of it is
in the front,
would be the majority of the space, and then there's a room in the back that I have the diagram over there, that would be the tattoo studio, and it's much smaller than the rest of the store.
I would think that privacy is a factor also in doing this. And you're providing that in a way that's set up. So I think that's a key part of the interpretation as well, is that that there's privacy and you're doing the aesthetic, body aesthetics and artwork. Now, with your art, you mentioned watercolors, but I know Sue Van Dyne, other things, does pottery, other people do different sculptures and so on. So you're gonna have, in your display, you're gonna have different types of art, different mediums of art. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. And my final comment is that we're looking as a city and as a guide or for the future to develop a shoulder season for our merchants and even for our residents and even activities for the winter too, so that when people come down for the weekend, there's a place to go, there's other things. And this is one more use that would fit into the cog or the collage, so to speak. I think it's important that we also think of what will help the city develop a shoulder season and then a longer season.
We agree with you on that.
So there are my comments. And does the board have any other further comments at this point?
I do.
Peter, please.
Yeah, a couple of questions. If this were to be approved as an accessory use, would it require board approval every time it came back around? A look at what they...
Again, Leo, can you explain what we're here for tonight?
Yeah, our job tonight is we're looking at the ordinance and... They've asked for an interpretation, which is within our jurisdiction, to determine whether a tattoo studio would be a permitted use. And their argument basically is it fits within the permitted uses of professional services, which says including but not limited to, and it lists a bunch of things, but including like barbershops, nail salons, and beauty parlors. You know, the argument is that they're licensed by the state of New Jersey. They operate in a very similar fashion. And in 1978, tattoos have come a long way. We weren't really envisioning that when the ordinance was first adopted. And there's also no prohibition against that use. So our role is very limited tonight. We're just trying to make it. We're asked to interpret the ordinance. whether tattoo parlors are permitted in the commercial zone or they are not.
Okay. So if we say yes, they are, then they're permitted. And as long as it fits the criteria, then it would be a permitted use and would not need board approval to move forward in future cases.
Correct.
And then the second part of that is piercings go hand in hand with tattoos. And I would ask the applicant if that would also be a part of their services.
No piercing.
No piercings. Okay.
It is typically presented together, but we don't pierce.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. That's fine. But should we look at it as to permit those also?
What I would suggest, and I'll ask Roger and Leo to get together after tonight to actually draft an amendment or include it in the proposed amendments that we've been working on, is to put something in there that makes this a conditional use with certain parameters, that it's just body art with inking of that nature. If that's a restriction we want to put on it, wouldn't affect tonight's decision, but down the road, it would say, all right, they have to be accessory to something else, and we can put conditions on them in an ordinance. We don't have that right now. We're just trying to clarify what we're right at.
Yeah.
But I like some of the discussions that Tim brought up and then some of the other board members, that we can certainly put that on there. But definitely the body art would be something that we could make that an accessory type use. That I think it tied to the art gallery, to me, is perfect.
Well, but the body art thing, you know, goes into the piercings and all that. I mean, so
agreed.
You know, it's tough to draw that line, you know, and say, well, it's art. It's not tattooing, but it's piercings, which, you know, could also be interpreted the same way. So when the ordinance is drafted, we should, you know, really look at how that fits into it.
Agreed.
Okay, board members, is there any other board members wish to make comment at the present time? Brian, do your applicants have anything they wish to say before I open up to the public?
No, we're complete.
Okay.
Present time.
Jim, I'd like to open up to the public. Would you ask anyone if they're wishing to speak, and bring our first person up if they are?
Is there anybody who wishes to make comment on this interpretation? Please make yourself known within Zoom by raising your hand or within the chat section, and you will be recognized.
Do we have anybody, Jim?
No.
Okay. Try it one more time, and then we'll close that. There's no requests, we'll close it.
Is anybody from the public who wishes to make comment on this interpretation? Please raise your hand within the Zoom or within the chat function, and you will be recognized.
It appears we're hearing none, James.
Nobody.
Okay, the public portion is hereby closed. Mr. Callahan,
we rest.
You rest at this point?
We do.
Okay. Roger, do you have anything you wish to add?
I was just reviewing the state license requirements, and they're pretty specific and pretty stringent. And I would say, as long as the practitioner abides by those rules, you know, it's like us telling a doctor's office how to wash your hands. You know, I think the board finds that this is a approved use, then, you know, I agree with Commissioner Lance and Commissioner Griebel about drafting a conditional use or accessory use. But again, looking at the state license requirements, I mean, they're pretty stringent. I think
it's a highly regulated industry.
Right. I mean, I just want to put that to rest, that they're going to be performing their job based on their state license. You know, that's something that we don't regulate. However, that use is something that we need to consider. And again, it is not specifically listed in our ordinance, but it doesn't say it's not the permitted use.
Okay. At this time, if there's no other further comments, Leo, you would be up to frame a resolution in the affirmative regarding this application.
Sure. So the motion that needs to be made is, as you said, Mr. Chairman, a motion in the affirmative for an interpretation that the tattoo parlor use, what we'll call it, is a permitted use within our city commercial district.
Okay. May I have a motion and a second for that?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. We'll have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I think this is very similar to the other uses we have in the community with regard to the barbershops and the salons. There are makeup type tattoos that happen in those shops already. I think this fits in to our ordinance now. I think we can tweak it a little bit to make it a little better and alleviate any concerns that we may have down the road, but I vote yes, that I think this should be a permitted use.
Commissioner Kriebel?
I think it's a creative approach to the business model and the activity, but I would vote no. I would rather see it as an accessory use with some additional requirements for signage, hours, and things of that nature attached.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes on the interpretation that it does qualify and for a mercantile license and for use as it is current. It's very similar to some of the uses that are in today. As it's mentioned, there is cosmetic tattooing and so on that's occurring now, but also the just body aesthetics and enhancing one's appearance is going on right now in shops. It's also state regulated and quite heavily regulated, in fact. So there are safeguards within the community itself. The idea that they are going in, presenting it with another use, makes it that much more compatible with the community. And I think it, with a multiple use approach that they're doing, lends itself very nicely to expanding or working toward creating a shoulder season for our community and our merchants as well.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
I also vote yes. I believe that in terms of the interpretation that a body art use would qualify with the parameters that we have already, but I also concur with the commissioners that we should create an accessory use provision for our ordinance to cover our concerns. And I'm sure we can write it in a way that will be flexible, yet, not open the floodgates.
Dan Smith III.
I also vote in favor of the interpretation. I think that this will broaden the things that people can come to Ventnor for, browsing. I think the quality of work that the proprietor does will make it a place that people will seek out over time just to see that quality of, you see it on the football players, you see basketball players, all the musicians today, and it's something that is part of life. I think to tighten up the interpretation with follow-up is important because we don't want the wrong situation to occur. And I think setting is good right there. Bring a little Soho to New Jersey. And I'm in favor of it. I don't see any problem with it at all.
Mike Wiesen.
I like the combination of the two businesses. The fact that if you just did one over the other as a tattoo parlor, I wouldn't really like. But the combination of the art and the body art, which I would love to hear and see and send somebody up to the body art studio as opposed to the tattoo studio. Sorry, you know, old. but I'm in favor of it.
Peter Taco.
I am in favor of it. And I'm relying on our commissioners to draft an ordinance that protects us from what we all don't want to see. And I think we have to realize and remember that this vote is not about that particular salon, but the city in general. You know, this is an excellent opportunity for a mixed use tattoo studio and art studio, but we don't know what will come forward to the board or what will be proposed in the future. So I'm relying on our commissioners to draft an ordinance that protects us in that regard. But I agree and think that it should be a permitted use. That's my answer.
Okay. Are we complete, Carmela?
Yes, we are.
Your interpretation is carried. You are considered an approved use at this time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. The next application is that of Mr. Borda.
Jay Pagano.
It's Pagano. I was saying it was wrong. It should be Pagano.
There was a revised agenda that was sent.
Right. But it is Pagano. So it's 129 North Surrey Avenue. And he's seeking...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have to recuse myself for this application.
Okay, that's let the record reflect that's the case. And we shall move on. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome. And
this is for C variance relief. And I will let the applicants discuss the application. Roger, do you want to do a preamble on this?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I have spoken to the applicant on several occasions. I think they want to introduce the project to the board and possibly postpone it, but make some they're going to make some revisions to the plans. But I suggested that they get some more input from the board members first so they don't have to come back again.
Okay. Mr. Abbott.
Mr. Chairman, board members, professionals, good evening. I'm here on behalf of Peter and Patricia Pagano. I believe they're tuned in to the Zoom meeting. I hope they're there.
Scott, do you have anybody to be sworn?
Well, I have Christine Amy as our architect. Christine, are you there? Yes, you are. So I guess we would swear them and Peter and Trish. We are going to give you a little presentation, but our intent is to revise the plans, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. But let's get everybody sworn in who's going to be sworn in, and so you can continue.
All righty.
All right. Why don't we start with Miss Amy? If you can, I'll get y'all sworn in together. But Miss Amy, you could state your name first, and then the applicants, you can each state your name and business address or regular address, and I'll get y'all sworn in together.
Christina Amy, my address is 761. Asbury Avenue, Ocean City, New Jersey, 08226. And I'm a New Jersey licensed architect.
Okay.
And the owners, they have to be sworn into. Patricia and Peter.
Okay. And Mr. and Mrs. Pagano, can each just state your name and address?
They're
talking, but I can't quite hear.
They're muted.
And unmute.
No, they're not muted. They're not muted. Not coming through on their on the volume.
Okay.
Well,
While we're doing that,
I've got the architect sworn in. Let's move forward.
Let's let the record reflect that since Christina Amy is a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey, her credentials are acceptable to appear before this board.
Okay.
Correct.
If the Vicanas can figure it out, we'll get them sworn in. And
right.
It's possible. I don't know where this is going, so we may not
correct need
their input. Right. So.
So, Scott, right. Continue, please.
Okay, so the Paganos are currently building a brand new home on Surrey Avenue in the Bay. We're using an address of 129 North Surrey. Board members may recall that they were here in December of 2019, and they got bulk variance relief primarily because of the depth of the lot not meeting your ordinance standards. That's all that bayfront property along both Surrey, Edgewater, and Derby Avenue generally need variances. Plus, your ordinance doesn't allow the area underwater to be counted as part of the lot area. Now, what they subsequently did is they purchased the adjoining property, which was lot 8 and lot 9. So now what the plan is to add to the home and build a swimming pool, deck, and cabana. After we got our zoning approvals and they purchased the property next door. And then they got their DEP approvals to see what would be allowed. You may recall that there was a house there. That house has been torn down. The new bulkhead has been put in at the current flood elevation requirement of 8 feet. And now with the efforts of Christina Amy and Art Ponzo, they have drawn up plans to put in a swimming pool and to put in a deck and what is called a cabana, which is a structure over the water. We have some technical issues regarding compliance with setbacks. We, due to the narrowness or the lack of width or depth of the lot, we need a front yard setback. And we initially had asked for a side yard setback. After reviewing the report of Roger, the planning report, we determined to make some changes this week. I know there's some concern with some neighbors. I can see their names on the board here. I understand they're upset. What we would like to do, Mr. Chairman, is submit revised plans. Christina is our architect. She and Art have been working on the elevations. What we're going to do is lower the deck. We're going to pull it back off the street, further back, so that we have the equivalent of a front yard porch allowance. I believe we allow, it's 12 feet, but with a porch, you can be 7. We're going to have our deck, which connects with the house, and merge all this property so that it's all one parcel. Not going to rebuild a home, so there'll be one less home there, and no driveways with this area. That'll benefit the neighborhood parking scheme. But most importantly, we're going to lower the deck area and the pool, and eliminate the side yard setback. So the variance we're going to need is front yard setback for 7 feet. We're going to need rear yard, because our deck and pool go within the rear yard. This being waterfront property, you don't allow us to calculate the area underwater, although our deed says we own it. In fact, I think I got a repairing grant for a portion of this property for a prior owner. So that's our overview. We know there's some neighbors here that apparently they have some concerns. Wouldn't mind hearing what they are, but we do intend to revise these plans. We're going to submit something less, based primarily on the comments we got from Roger and meeting at the site and really looking at it. That's pretty much it. You have to understand our bulkhead's at 8, and the elevation requirements drive a lot of this. So we certainly want the pool to be at least elevation 8. Otherwise, every time you get a bad flood there, it'll fill up with salt water and marsh grass and debris and whatnot. So it has to be up higher. And our mechanicals have to be up higher. Perhaps the good news for the neighborhood is there's one less house. There won't be a house there. And that'll end up giving us a property with an overall frontage of, Christine, help me out here. I think it's 125 feet, one home. and the home is on what's now shown as lot 10. Christine, do you want to add anything at this point or working on those plans for revisions?
I would only say that, and I know that you'll need to see the new plans, but we are intending to reduce the number of variances as well, not just make them less intrusive, but actually reduce the total number of variances by at least two, and I think three reduction of variances we're requesting. And, you know, I just want to, you know, maybe reiterate a little bit of what Scott said, in that we're really trying to be conscientious about what we can, finding the balance between minimizing this, but being conscientious of the flood regulations and what we need to do to make, to protect this structure in and of itself.
Christine. We're also going to have a pretty nice landscaping buffer on the street side of the home. So you really won't see much of the structure. It'll be landscaped.
And also, I think our
there we go. Working now.
Wait a minute. They have to be sworn.
Swear you in. But you figured out how to unmute. That's a good thing. So let's get them sworn in. All right.
Okay. Why don't you each state your name and address, and I'll get you both sworn in.
Peter and Patricia Pagano, 11 Leopard Run, Glen Mills, PA, 19342.
And can you raise your right hand? Each swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
What'd you want to add, Peter?
But our audio is working now.
Yes, it is.
Now, I wanted to add that certainly we, in going through the plans with this, we were kind of looking to make something that's attractive. We don't want to put some 35-foot structure up there and block the views of everybody. And I think keeping the structure lower certainly helped out the area down there. And just make the neighborhood nicer. We love Ventnor. It's a gem. It's a diamond in a rough. Ventnor's a great place. We're only looking to improve the neighborhood. We're not looking to do anything in the negative, with the negative impact at all with the neighborhood. So anything we do is meant to improve the neighborhood, improve Ventnor. And we've been in Ventnor. I've been since I was a child. I lived in Ventnor during the summer, 601 North Cornwall. And, you know, it's been my summer home. Down there, the town has been my area. I put it in the waters back there. It's the best area around. We love Ventnor, and we would never do anything to negatively impact the town. And then our neighbors. We don't want to impact our neighbors in a negative way either. So we understand their concerns. Even the on-street parking and not taking up driveway curb cuts, I think, is a benefit to the street. I've heard that argument many times with driveways taking up, you know, the curb cuts taking up on-street parking. And it's very important to the neighbors that they keep that on-street park. And if we keep a low profile on this, I think that would certainly benefit the neighborhood and wholeheartedly. That's what I believe, and that's what our goal is.
Okay.
I think that's basically what we have. We would like to hear comments from the public, but as I said, we are very willing to modify our plans and return to the board so you can take a good look at it. Again, we took to heart Roger's report and felt, yeah, maybe we should reduce the size of it and lower the elevation. But we can't go too low because we have the bulkhead there and we want the deck to be, it'll be above, slightly above the top of the bulkhead. So that it does go out over the water bit as a part of our dock structure. Very common in Ventnor to have.
Scott, I have some questions.
Yes, sir.
And either Christina or you can probably field them. How many bedrooms and how many parking places are incorporated in this property?
Pete would be better to answer that. Sure. How many bedrooms do you have, Pete?
It's four bedrooms and there's two on-site parking places.
Okay. We had the benefit of a hearing before on another property and, you do have guests and people coming in and so on. The problem has been in that neighborhood that guests do come in and they do take up on-street parking. So one of the things that came out of one of a prior hearing of another property was that providing room for, even though you have only requirement two, you have an abundance of property. But providing for overflow parking that doesn't go spill into the neighborhood. which is an important factor also. I didn't know if you could consider doing that. It would be, the city's low on parking. You're low on parking it too. You have a guest, they can't, you have two cars, they're parking on the street. So.
Let me respond to that if you will, Mr. Chairman. And look, yeah, you're right. We could build another driveway. We have 125 feet of frontage on the street.
Right.
The problem with that is once you build that driveway, you've eliminated that parking space for the entire neighborhood. We looked at it, and I look at it, and I'm sure my clients agree. We talked about this. We have a double car driveway. We had another house here with a driveway, which we've eliminated. So, yes, there are a total of four bedrooms with two parking spaces. I'm sure our architect can put another driveway in and put another parking space on site, or put it under, have it go under the deck, or however you want to do that. We can probably design that. But I don't think that benefits the neighborhood if you really think about it, because now you've eliminated at least one, perhaps two spaces. It's one of my pet peeves. My pet peeve in my office here in Morgan, every time they build something new, they add another driveway and they eliminate that street parking. It's up to you. You have the power here. We can certainly do that. But if you would consider, there's 125 feet with about a 20-foot wide driveway.
Mr. Abbott, I'm gonna interject here. Part of the responsibility of an owner in developing a property is to manage their own parking and the parking which it generates. And though if you take a spot off the street, you also may put several on, more on that also rob cars.
Well, the house isn't here tonight, Mr. Chairman. That was approved 2 years ago.
I understand all that.
And no variance, by the way.
I understand all that. And all I'm saying for consideration is that you generate more than two cars, obviously, many times with visitors. There is the philosophy is that you manage your own parking. I think that I'd like you to look at it, and you make the consideration, because overall, it will probably help the neighborhood. We've gleaned that from others as well, and we'll find out. I'm just asking you for consideration. You can do as you wish, make your own application. I've given you.
Christine wants to add to that equation here.
I think we can certainly look at that. But the first thing I actually thought of when you brought that up, and again, the existing parking meets the current requirements of the city. The first thing I actually thought of was impervious coverage. Because as soon as we add another parking space, well, now we've increased our impervious coverage, you know, roughly 200 square feet. And going back to what Mr. Abbott was saying is that parking space is going to be exclusively at that point for Pagano's guests, which they may not have at certain times or most of the time, whereas
98% of the time
is universal. And again, impervious coverage was the first thing that came to my mind. But again, we will look at it, but that's just something to consider in asking for additional parking than what's required.
As an architect, there's ways to get around the impervious coverage because we've already discussed
them. Oh, there is.
So I'm gonna rest this point right now and then go ahead. The next question I have is how long is you were limiting your side yard variance? But what is the current thought on the length of the structure, of the entire structure now?
The proposed pool will be, I believe it's 20.
The entire length, the total composite length of the structure. And the pool, everything being built.
It's 117 feet on the plan.
It's 117.
Including the home.
Yes. So it's 125 foot lot with 117.
Right.
Okay. You said you might be withdrawing a 4 foot side yard on that side.
We're going to increase that side yard. Presumably could put a parking space there if you want. But the pool itself is I think it's going to be 12 by 26.
I'm already concerned about the entire structure right now. So
okay.
You've given me what I needed to know. One of my concerns in here, and I'm sure the neighborhood has a concern too, is a wall, what we call a wall effect. So Christina, I'm sure you have your concept and design, how you're going to deal with that. I'm sure it's a concern in neighbors as well. And I just raised that as a for thought, and we'll go from there. But that is the case. Thank you. I am complete. Is there any other questions to the board?
Jay, I would suggest if you're going to hear from, and I'll leave this up to the discretion of you and the board. If you are going to hear from the public, we're going to get a new plan. I don't want to get into a full-blown hearing, but I'll give you some discretion if you want to do that. Normally, what we would probably do if we were all live is we would say, we're going to get a new plan. We'd postpone it. We'd say, hopefully, you guys all go talk out in the hall. We don't really have that option tonight. So I'll give you some discretion there as to how you want to handle public participation.
I'd like to see what they propose in the new plan. And unless there's individuals that are here, what we would do is this evening, we would limit the conversation to 3 minutes for anybody that wants to speak, and just give some cursory things and not get into any in-depth conversations, because there will be a new plan. But fine. There'll be a three minute limitation on each speaker, and that is the case. So we don't get into a back and forth dialogue. We're going to listen to comments only, no rebuttal.
Mr. Chairman, it's Roger. I just want to make a couple of comments for the board's sake. In regard to the pool deck, it's going to be lowered. It appears as high as it is. It's going to appear higher also with the revised plans, and that's because the street is extremely low. I was looking at tie charts today, and I ran some calculations. That street probably floods at least 20 times a year just because it's low. So in regard to floodplain management, you know, having that deck with timber, you know, as high as it can be within a reasonable fashion may not be such a bad idea, because if you get a bad storm, guess what? All that lumber and timber is going to be in the street somewhere if it's too low. Again, the street grade is like 3.09 feet, and a normal high tide, or like a spring tide, you're over four. So you're going to have a foot of water in that street a couple times a year. And just from a floodplain management, I think we ought to have a little bit of open mind in regard to how high that deck is versus how high it could be. And again, they are going to go back to the drawing board and reduce the height and push that wall effect further away from the street. I'm anxious to see what the revised plans are also. I mean, they have a great architect, so I'm sure they're going to come up with something pretty good. I just want to put that in the board's ear.
That was very good. The other thing, Roger, the height above mean low water, which is when they give flooding things, moderate flooding is about, is considered 8 feet, and that's above mean low water. So it's not directly corollary to the measurements that you have. And then low tidal flooding is about 7.5. So that's to be considered. We might want to get correlations in those numbers, because that area does flood like that. You brought up an interesting point about floating debris and water. What we have been requesting in that area is when the landscaping beds are done, that the landscaping beds are elevated because there's flooding, and they're done in masonry rather than no timber, because the timber floats away. But
Christine's taking notes, and I agree with it. When I was a kid during a March storm, I ran a boat with an outboard engine down that street, so I know how bad it can flood. And I just want all of you to recall that your ordinance required that bulkhead to be at 8. It's a little bit above 8. So unless you have x-ray vision, you're looking at a wall now that's there.
Correct.
What we propose to do is have a pool behind that bulkhead, but the deck would be about a foot, foot and a half above, because it goes out over. And we're willing to shrink it down and reduce the side yard. And of course, the planter, that's fine. We certainly want to do that. But we would also like to hear the neighbors' comments, see what they have to say. Maybe they're happy there's not a house there anymore. You know, you could build a house now. It's 35 feet.
We're going to do open up to the public now. There'll be a 3-minute discussion for comment, and there'll be no back and forth discussion at this point. So just comments only. So Jim, if you could open up to the public, and that would be great. And we'll take our first person who wants to speak.
Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak on this application? Please make yourself known by raising your hand within Zoom or within the chat function, and you will be recognized.
I have a question.
Okay, just state your name and address. I get to swear you in real quick. And
Deirdre Agan, 110 North Surrey.
110 North Surrey. Ms. Agan, please raise your right hand. You swear a firm testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yep.
Thank you. Go ahead.
A question. I'm not exactly, because we don't have the plans in front of us. I'm not exactly where that should, where the pool is going to be. The little strip of land in front of all the boat docks, is there going to be anything there? Or is the pool down further from there?
Down further from there.
Okay. Where the one house used to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'd like to have the comments. You know, you can ask questions, but the idea is to make comments about the application, because if you don't have plans, they're all going to change. So whatever comments you have, an interest that perhaps would help them in their actions, that would be helpful.
Okay, I have a comment then. Please, no more driveways. It takes up. We'd rather not have more driveways. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't ask her to say that, Jay. Honestly,
I don't. That's fine.
You don't have any diagrams now.
The plans are available online.
They're online.
Okay.
Okay.
Vendor City website.
Okay.
Right.
Or I can send them to you if you want.
That's okay. You
give us the ability, we'll give them to you.
Okay. Deidre, are you complete at this point?
I have one more thing. No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
We have someone that's next.
The name, Lucas.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? My name's Tom Lucas. I'm at 128 North Surrey.
128 North. Mr. Lucas, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
You know, I thank the Paganos. I think they're doing a really awesome job with the house, and it's going to be extremely beautiful. We just have one concern. We're directly in front of them. And by adding this pool structure and cabana house, you know, to the adjacent lot, we're just worried about the increased social capacity of the neighborhood and those two properties without increasing the number of parking. So that's our only concern. Backing out of our driveway is extremely difficult. You know, we have cars that park behind us. We have SUVs, kids. You know, there's a lot of blind spots. You know, kid runs in the street, you know, God forbid. So the biggest concern is the parking and the increased social capacity of the house. So that's my comment.
Thank you. We have anyone else?
Anybody else from the public who wishes to speak on this application? Peter?
We're good.
Are you there?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Peter?
Now we can.
Yes, okay.
I gotta get you sworn in, Peter. Name and address, please.
Peter Taco, 225 North Surrey Avenue, Ventnor City, New Jersey.
Okay, and please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Just like to make a comment that my main concern of the application was that the height of the pool deck was very high. 13.75 is almost 10 feet above that sidewalk over there. So I was very concerned about that. I am happy to hear that they are willing to lower it. And I'd also like to make a comment that the Pagano's own, I believe it's 175 linear feet of continuous property on that side, of which only 20 feet is curb cut. So I don't know that they're parking. They're not, certainly not adding to the parking problem, if you follow what I'm saying. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, very good. That's the end of my comments. I'd like to see it lowered, and I believe that that's the direction that it's going. So that's a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there, Jim, is there anyone else that we have that wishes to speak?
Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to speak on this application?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's up?
I do not see anyone else.
Okay. At this time, if there's no one else that wishes to speak, we'll close the public portion of this application. So the public portion is now closed. Okay. At this point, Scott, do you have anything further that you wish to add?
We're going to continue this application. We're going to make changes. So I'm not going to press the issue of what the next meeting is. We'll renotice. And what we'll do is we'll get these revised plans. And if those folks, I think we can figure out how to get it to them. If they want to look at the plans and they can't get it off the internet or whatever, I can email it to them, or Christine will email it to them. And you tell us when we can get on, what our next hearing date will be. I mean, naturally, we'd like to go the next meeting, which is what, the 22nd. But we won't have the plans in time or the revised notice if you feel it's necessary. But I assume we'll be back in March. And we'd like to submit those revised plans and get your comment. What are your dates in March so we know what they are?
We have three applications on March 10th. We have three applications on for March 22nd.
Well,
can we make the February 22nd meeting?
We also have three applications on for February 22nd.
My client asked if he could get on for the 22nd.
At this time, we're going to have to take a look at the applications and see if it's possible. Without doing that, we wouldn't venture to say yes, because we don't know what the time consumption will be.
And technically, I know it's a little different with Zoom, but your plan should be in 10 days prior, which doesn't give you much time for the 22nd.
Could be until today's Friday. The 10th, and you add to the 12th.
Right. Basically.
Right. Let me ask you this. If Christine can revise these plans and we get them into you by Friday, could we continue this to February 22nd? I'll be short. I'm not going to say much. We're going to show you. We're going to take it down as low as we can possibly get it, bearing in mind we've got an 8-foot-plus elevation on our bulkhead. We're going to shrink it down. Won't be long.
My suggestion is to get, if you wish to do that, submit it in there, and then upon revision at the time, we'll look at the whole package and we'll determine how we can help you out.
All right. So we'll try to get it in you by Friday. Yeah.
The idea is we like to move cases along, but at the same time, we're not going to bite off more than we can chew.
Sure. I hear you.
The only concern there, Scott, is you sort of need to know if you're going to have to
if we continue it to the 22nd, we wouldn't need to renotice.
Right, but then we'd have to make that formal announcement tonight. Is going to be the 22nd. I can make the. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Christina, can you have, I know she's almost done them now, the revisions. She's been doing them. And she did say she would have them done by tomorrow. So we just have them to you Friday morning. I don't know if that give you any idea on if we could do that on the second.
The only way possible it could go on is you'd be the last in line. And if there's time to hear you, you'd be heard. And that would be it.
Okay. One of them's mine. It's real short. Well, he's replacing the house with water.
But that would be the conditions if we were going is
all that, right. Let's try to do it.
Yeah.
Christine, are you all right with that? Yeah. She said.
Well, let's make the formal announcement then, so we're covered. So anyone on the call for the 129 North Surrey Avenue application for Pagano, the matter is going to be continued to February 22nd, assuming we can get to it, at 6:30 p.m. It is going to be on the Zoom application. The plans, the revised plans, will be up on the website prior to the meeting as soon as possible, and also login instructions as to how to log into this meeting. I presumably you got them. Well, you could have gotten them from your notice for this meeting, but for the new meeting, they will be different. So you'll have to go to the website, get the new login instructions for Zoom. If you have any questions, you can call Carmela, the board administrator, and she'll be able to assist you where they are on the Ventnor City website. And the applicant will not be required to renotice or republish. This is your official announcement for that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That is your disposition at this point.
Thank you.
Okay. Okie dokie. All right. Thank you. We'll talk tomorrow, right. Christine. Bye bye. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, board
members. We're going to continue. Okay. Jim, let's clear the board of the applicants at this point, and we'll proceed ahead.
People are welcome to stay. They don't have to leave.
No, everybody can stay and listen. This is an open meeting. The next item on our agenda is we're going to be reviewing variances that were granted over the past year, and as an annual report that we do. And at this point, Peter, you're back.
I'm back. Yes, I am back.
Let the record reflect that Peter Taco has joined the board and is now a participating member. Okay. Do all of you have the copy of the variances, the board applications that were granted? And there's dates on them. There's about 60 of them that actually go back for, I think, a couple years, if I'm not mistaken. Carmela?
No, that's just for 2020.
We didn't do
it. I can't print out when we switch systems. Okay. We haven't been able to print out anything prior.
Okay. One thing that I found that these lists are very, very good to have. When you have time, if you keep the list with you, as you drive around the city, take a look at the properties that we approved. Just, go over, if you remember some of the applications and so on, take a look at them. There's a world of information there in looking at exactly what turned out and how it looks versus the action that was taken. So without that, Roger, do you want to go through this whole list, or how do you want to do? How do you think it's best done through this? Roger, you're muted.
I don't want to sit here and re-review 60 records of these no. variants.
I don't have the list.
We've already reviewed all these applications.
Well, I understand
it's a great
that.
Tool, there you go.
But I think we want to look at the pattern of what's here. That's the purpose of the exercise.
It's
not to review them.
The purpose of it, Jay, but I'm not going to go through each one of these.
I don't expect everybody to.
I agree. Is there one type of variant that has popped off that is we see a lot of here?
That's what we're looking for, a repeat of variances that keep occurring. And that the purpose of the exercise is obviously to determine if we need to tweak our ordinances or not, or if there's an ongoing problem with how we're doing.
Jay, can I make a suggestion?
Please, Rob, please.
For the other board members, why don't I go through this and list them by zone for the next meeting? That way we can see how many variances were in, single family district R1, R2, R3, R. So with that, I think that's really where you want to go to show which residential district is generating the most variances, right? Would that interest board members?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah.
And at the same time, if you see a pattern of those stuff, just kind of make a note that this is the type of variances that we're seeing.
Yeah, right. I think by area and by type, it looks like it's mostly bulk coverage that's popped up, and that, you know, it's the size of the
right.
And most Roman, of that was existing.
Roman, thank you for that, by the way. That's a very good suggestion.
And the only question I have is on page 2, RBA 20-4, which is 105 Little Rock. That's the one we denied. So I should include it as if there were variances, but it wasn't approved by us.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I'll go through this. There are a couple that were denied. Check.
I'd also like to know what if there's any way to get, you know, a 2-year window of this type of data would probably be better if there's. I don't know who we asked for to find
out. Well, I can print it, but what happened was the programs are totally different. So anything that was put in the old program, the variances did not transfer over. So I can give you a list, but I'd have to go through. I mean, it'll take me time because I'm going to have to go through every, all my past, my book and go through every single application and write it down.
Is there a way to download it onto an Excel?
Well, yeah, but like I said, it'll just have to take me some time. It will take me time.
The old program does not match up the.
No, the addresses come up, their names come up, but the specific variances do not. So it would just be a list of names and addresses. It wouldn't tell you the type of variances when I went to print it out. The variances weren't there. So I have to go back through, and then I'd have to put them on like an Excel spreadsheet. It just will take me some time. That's all.
Hey, question, Carmela. So who the program we had before, was that like an Edmonds, or who was the administrative company that we had for that?
Jim would know that.
I would say we reach out to them and ask them, or reach out to the company that we have now and say, look, you guys told us this data was going to transfer through and it's not. Have them solve the problem for us, not us.
Well, I did. I have reached out to them. I definitely did. It would, to me, it would just probably be easier if I can try and, you know, work on it. If you give me, you know, like a week or two and I can put it on a spreadsheet.
Understood.
I have all my minutes, the variances, I have everything. I just have to go through it.
So the point of my request is when we pay a consultant to do something and they tell us that it will do something and it doesn't, they should be the one fixing it, not yourself, not anybody else in the office. So what I will do from my standpoint is I will reach out to the company and find out why, because we asked them all these questions, that this stuff was supposed to transfer through and it's not working. So what we'll do is we'll figure out a way to talk to them, but if you're willing to do that for this instance, that's fine. But what I want to find out is why, you know, I bought a car that's supposed to have power windows, and now the power windows I have don't work.
Right.
So that's why I'm a little agitated with the company that we spend taxpayer dollars on to get to work better. And this is a great report. This is dynamite. But if it cuts us off at, you know, January 1, 2020, to December 31st, 2020, that's not what we paid for. So we'll talk about that with Jim Pack and Jimmy Agnesino and see what we can get out of it.
Okay.
Any other suggestions that we have or requests regarding any of this information? Okay. If that's the case, then I would like to have a motion for adjournment.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you for a good evening.
Aye. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
everybody.
Aye.
Good seeing you again, Michael.
Take care, everyone.
See you guys.
Ready for no snow.
Good night.
Good night.